Welcome to a special series of Soul Talks on mental health and faith. Soul Talks is sponsored by the nonprofit ministry of Soul Shepherding, where we help you go deeper with Jesus in emotional health and loving leadership. Let's join our hosts, Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors of psychology, founders of Soul Shepherding, and authors of Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith.
Is fear a lack of faith? That's what we're talking about on Soul Talks today. So glad to have you in this conversation with Christy and me. These are unscripted, organic, personal conversations that Christy and I have with each other that we're inviting you to join in because we want to encourage you to be having Soul Talks in your life. Soul Talk is emotionally honest, and it's leaning in to trust Jesus in the conversation of whatever the challenge or opportunity or positive or negative emotion might be, we find Jesus in it.
You know, I used to, Bill, whenever I felt fear, go to shame pretty quickly over feeling the fear or guilt or fear that it was a lack of faith. So I would become even more afraid because I was fearing that my fear was a lack of faith. And I'm really thankful that I'm really growing to receive more of God's grace for me. It used to be that I would see Jesus when I would read the gospel patterns where he would say to the disciples in the boat, "Why were you afraid?" or "Where's your faith?" that I would see on that deep kind of disgust on Jesus' face, thinking that that's how he felt with me, about me when I had fear. And thankfully, that's changed for me. That's not what I perceive and receive from God anymore when I feel fear.
I've had a front row seat to seeing you grow and increasing emotional health and your trust in Jesus as your shepherd and Lord. And I'm really thankful for that. Really thankful to have you experience healing from the shame and the self-judging and self-condemnation. And it's helped you be even more loving to other people. And it's shown not a weakness of faith, but the strength of your faith.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And you've been a part of that. I'm very grateful for that. But it doesn't mean I don't still struggle with fear or that I have perfect faith. I do. Even the other day, I found myself, my mom died of cancer recently. My brother-in-law died of cancer recently. My other brother-in-law has cancer right now. My uncle died of cancer. My aunt has had cancer. I started to get some feelings of fear around that. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that when I have fear, what really helps me the most is when I can begin to recognize that I have it instead of try to deny it because I'm afraid it's a lack of faith. Because that's one of the things I've done in the past. When I've believed that fear is a lack of faith, I've just tried to deny the fear and tried to muster up faith.
So many people struggle with this, which is why we're asking the question, is fear a lack of faith? Because it's of biblical proportions in that it is the standard way that we interpret scriptures about don't have fear. And or Mark 5, verse 34, Jesus replies to Jairus, don't fear, just have faith. This is when Jairus' daughter is sick, and he goes to Jesus to pray for Jesus heal her. And before Jesus can get over to his house, his daughter has died, and he's gotten news of this. And Jesus says to him, "Don't have fear. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Just believe." The message puts it a little better and says, "Well, just trust me." But it sounds like fear is bad, is a sin, is against faith, and just don't feel any fear. Now, Jesus knew that he was going to heal Jairus' daughter. And so that's a different situation when there is a specific doctor knows that your test results have come back great and you don't have cancer. He would say, "Well, don't be afraid." And we would appreciate that because it's based on a fact. But then what we will say is, "Oh, well, but the Bible is facts." And so when Jesus says, Don't fear, just have faith. That's a fact. And so I should just believe that. But that's not an appropriate application of that scripture. And Psalm 56 verses 1-3 gives the example that is a counter to this interpretation, which is that when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Mm. And David has just been attacked by the Philistines, and he's seized by his enemy. He's in great danger. And so this is how he prays. And then he puts this into a psalm that is sung by the people of Israel and sung by us today. And it's the basic healing message of the psalms, particularly the laments, that is very mentally healthy, very emotionally aware. And it's distinguishing between experiencing an emotion and having a chronic state and attitude and bodily posture. And so those are two different things. And so to have a feeling of fear is natural. To have a chronic bodily state of worrying and being beholden to fear is different.
I really, really appreciate that distinction. I think that's so important, because I think it's human. We're going to be tempted to fear. We're going to have fears at time. It's what we do when we're afraid that maybe determines our faith. And I love that psalm, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, because when I wake up and realize my fear, then that's the opportunity for me to make that choice to turn and to trust God when I am afraid, not to deny the fear or to shame myself because I have the fear, but actually that's the moment to choose the faith, the trust, the connection with God.
It's sadly, so often we who are Bible teachers and spokespersons are not using a healthy, good, and true psychology. And so we're using scriptures that teach on having faith and trusting God in situations of fear, which are precious scriptures and so important, but we're interpreting them in a way that is reinforcing the denial of the emotion rather than the need to confess the truth of the emotion, which is what we're doing in the scriptures, and then to seek empathy from the Lord through prayer and from people. Because just shutting down the emotion because of the fact of a Bible verse, it's not healthy, not only psychologically, but spiritually. It's not credible, because what faith really means in the Bible is trust. It's relational. It's trusting God. So to trust God isn't the way we commonly interpret these scriptures is trust God's word against your emotion of fear. And that's what we're saying is a misinterpretation. Instead, we speak the truth of the emotion to God in prayer, to a safe friend, and seek empathy, seek validation. And then that's part of trusting God. And then we move into praying for a promise from Scripture to be revealed, for the healing to come, for there to be confidence in a situation. But these simplistic solutions of just don't feel that emotion and just be positive is not a healthy interpretation of Scripture.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because a lot of people will say, well, what about positive psychology? And what about positive thinking? And what about proving my faith with positivity or even with reassuring other people. When I share a fear, oftentimes I'll hear people, they'll share a fear and then they'll quick share their reassurance or their faith statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's because they're afraid of people thinking they don't have faith, or they're maybe afraid they've put their fear out there and somebody else will catch it and they need to put that faith statement out there to try to help them with it.
Or they're afraid to feel the negative emotion because their experience with feeling fear, feeling insecurity, is that it's going to spiral down on them. They're going to go into the gutter, and they're going to get more and more afraid, and they're going to be alone with that, and maybe they're going to be judged with that or rejected with that, and they're going to get stuck there. And so their way to not get stuck is to just not feel the emotion and go up into cheerfulness and positive thinking, which in moments in time, it can seem like it works, But what we're really doing is we're pushing that beach ball underwater. We're denying the reality of an emotion, of a struggle, of a hurt. There's a reason for the fear often that is coming out of our history and our own sin and brokenness and wounds that we have. And so to just shut all that down is not true and not going to be helpful in the long run. And it's not really trusting God.
Seems to me that when Jesus really affirmed the faith of the soldier who came to him and said, you know, I'm a man of authority and you can just say the word and he'll be healed, that I think Jesus was affirming this man's recognition of Jesus and his faith and trust in Jesus. But I think he was also affirming that this was really vulnerable for a Roman officer
mm-hmm.
to pursue Jesus, a very controversial figure at the time, for the healing of his daughter.
That's a different take on that scripture. Yeah, there's a great vulnerability for that Roman soldier to just take Jesus at his word.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that, Bill, because I have so often, and I've shared with you, we have a prayer list of volunteers who pray for Soul Shepherding and for you and I. And there have been times when on that prayer list, I've named a fear and I've asked for prayer for that mm-hmm. specific thing that I was afraid of. And I have gotten back a couple of times an email where somebody's preached at me, don't be afraid, have mm-hmm. faith. And I that's been hard for me because I felt like, well, I do have faith, that they're misunderstanding that my asking for prayer, my confessing the need is a part of my faith instead of counter to it.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So what I'm saying here is sometimes we have to be careful who we are emotionally honest with mm-hmm. in our fear.
Yeah. And it might sound to you who are listening like we're saying, oh, you know, everything is about just being emotionally honest and uncovering these emotions and praying about them and bringing them into relationship. And certainly we believe that is important, but that is not the whole deal. Knowing the scriptures and principles and truths of God's word and the examples of how discipleship to Jesus works and leads to a flourishing, abundant life for eternity, all the things that we're to learn from the Bible are very important part of our well-being and our ability to be loving to God and to other people and our own selves. And so part of what might get missed in the, well, don't fear, just believe, which is Jesus said that to Jairus in that particular situation. And there are other scriptures where, like you referenced, Christy, it seemed to say the same thing where, you know, Jesus says to Peter, you know, as he's, after he sinks in the water, you know, why did you fear? Why didn't you have faith? What he means there is, well, why didn't you keep looking at me? So when you're walking on water in a storm to Jesus, or applying that to us in any trial in life, as we're going through that difficulty in the immediacy of a situation of need where their action needs to be taken, it's not the time while we're walking on the water, is not the time to process our emotions. We're in a crisis. We're walking to Jesus and it's dangerous. That's a time for acting with courage and to stop and just feel and talk about your feelings and have a therapy session. This not the best time for that. In other words, there's a time to feel and ask for empathy, and there's a time to take action. And we actually need both in order to overcome fear, in order to overcome fear as a state, as a habit, as an attitude and a mindset, because that's what we're differentiating here. And the emotion of fear from the continual fear. And that's what Jesus is meaning when he says, well, don't fear. He's saying, well, don't have an attitude of fear. Don't don't perseverate in this condition of fear when I am right here, when I'm about to heal you, when my hand is here to help you, when if you keep your eyes on me, you can keep walking the rest of the steps on the water to get to me. And so we need to act. And this is not only a principle from the scripture, but it's a principle of healthy psychology that when someone is dealing with a fear, only a part of what is curative is being honest about that and receiving empathy and validation. Whereas in the past, maybe you denied it, you shut it down, you just cheerleaded yourself with reassurance, or you were shamed for it. But now it's part of a relationship and you're listened to, you receive empathy. So that is part of what is curative. But the other part is you need to take courage and act. And that's what the scriptures are emphasizing, both sides of it in different places, sometimes at the same time. And so if we only do the emotional honesty and receive empathy, while that's necessary, it's not sufficient. We also need to take action. And we're probably still going to feel afraid when we take action. Receiving empathy doesn't make the fear go away. That's not the point. The point is that receiving empathy helps me know I'm not alone, which gives me strength and courage to face that challenge. And so that's the other side of it, is that we do need to act. But what most of us do is we only do one side without the other. And so that's the big problem here with this discussion on fear, is that if we only act or just believe and just do something, but we don't really deal with the emotion, the relational piece of trusting God and trusting somebody, then that's going to fall flat. It's not going to really take that faith is not true faith. It's not really taking that faith in the Lord. It's not really taking root in us. And we're not going to be able to sustain that. And on the other side, if we only process our emotions and receive empathy, but we never take action to deal with the thing that we're afraid of, we're not going to gain the strength that we need. Because that's ultimately the point, is that we face those things that we're afraid of, and we do that with Jesus. And receiving empathy from a friend or a spiritual director helps us face the fear with Jesus.
That's right. And I'm so grateful, because I see, as I am growing in this, as I'm walking in this, as I'm working it out, it gets easier and easier for me to just organically live in that choice without being conscious of the psalm that, "What am I afraid? I will trust in you." And this is part of our school of discipleship to Jesus, is growing in these ways. And so, friends, thank you for joining us. We love that you are following Jesus with us. You're growing to learn to be more healthy and whole in Him. And Lord Jesus, I do thank you and praise you for each one listening to this podcast. Thank you, Lord, that they have tuned in, that they want to grow as your apprentice, that they recognize they need you to shepherd their soul. And I ask, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen them by your grace to be able to respond honestly, bringing their fears to you and growing in their ability to trust you. Inform us, Lord, in the kind of people that will be safe to be ambassadors of you, shepherds after your own heart, when others share their fears with us, that we can hold faith even when they can't. We can pray for them. Thank you, Jesus, that you use us, you give us that privilege to be a part of your action in the lives of our friends too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
To go deeper with Jesus in your mental health and faith, get a copy of Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith by Bill and Christy Galtier. You'll discover fresh insights on your Enneagram type and receive the help you need for personal and relational struggles with anger, shame, anxiety, and sadness. To go deeper with Jesus in an authentic community led by Bill and Christy and their staff, come to one of our upcoming Soul Shepherding Institute retreats. Check out the links in the show notes or visit soulshepherding.org.